Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our verse-by-verse study of the book of 1 Thessalonians. Today we're going to pick up in chapter number 3, verse 9 in just a moment. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again we ask your blessing upon our study today. Father, we pray that we be led and guided by the Holy Spirit of God, the author of your very words. Father, we pray for the saint of God listening today, that they would be encouraged, lifted up, Lord, and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for the lost sinner today that's lost and undone in their sins, that this would be the very day that they would place their faith and their trust alone in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else to pay for all their sins, amen, and to secure them a home in heaven someday. Father, we just commit this time into thy hand. We ask your blessing today upon our study. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9. Let's look at that verse together. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God. As before mentioned, in chapter 1, verse 2, Paul gave thanks for those in Thessalonica. But here he asks the question, but what thanks can we render to God again for you? In other words, he feels that he can't thank God enough for them. Paul continues in this verse, telling them the reason that he thanks God so much for them is because of the joy that they have in serving the Lord and enduring tribulation. Thus, it's important to always be joyful, my friend, whether you are suffering tribulations, affliction, distress, or are graced with good times. Amen. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Here we see more of the human side of Paul. Indeed, he is a militant Christian. He fought the good fight of faith, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, and encourages others to endure hardness in afflictions as a good soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. There can be no doubt that Paul was a strong man in the faith and stern in his convictions. But you see, he too needed Christian fellowship. In this verse, he shows how strong his desire was to see those he'd won to Christ and be a blessing to them as much as they were to him. Amen. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Paul is praying for God to let them go to Thessalonica so that they can see each other. You see, he desires Christian fellowship. There's nothing wrong with having fellowship with other Christians. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we find the apostles fellowshipping with 3,000 new saved converts. Let's turn over there in Acts chapter 2 for a moment. In Acts chapter 2, in verse number 42, we read, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Amen. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, we read that James, Cephas, and John giving the right hands of fellowship to Paul and Barnabas. Let's look there. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter number 2 with me. Galatians 2. And in Galatians 2, verse 9, let's look at that together. Galatians 2, verse number 9. "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, we discover that John's desire is for others to have fellowship with him. Looking in 1 John chapter number 1, verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." But that fellowship that we have with other believers ought to be of a spiritual nature. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul tells us that their fellowship was in the gospel. You see, Christians ought not to get together in fellowship to do worldly things. They ought to fellowship together as in the fellowship of the Spirit, as stated in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Let's turn over to the book of Philippians just for a moment. And let's see, Philippians chapter 1, verse 5. We read, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Let's look at verse 4. As Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Always in every prayer in mind for you all, making request with joy." Why? "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Amen. So he was praying to God and thanking God and making prayer requests for the Philippians because of the fellowship that he enjoyed with them in the gospel. Amen. Look with me in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So here we see that any fellowship that we have should be fellowship of the Spirit. And a Christian's fellowship should be in the light, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And he should not fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians 5, 11. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Fellowship should be in the light. The light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." looking in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 with me. We read, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." See? We're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but we're to reprove them. We're going to stand against them and call them out. A Christian ought first and foremost have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, and not with devils, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. Nor should he seek to have fellowship with unrighteousness. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians with me, chapter number 6. Let's begin reading in verse 14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And another thing regarding fellowship, a believer's fellowship should be for the purpose of ministering to the saints. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship," see this? "Take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Let's return back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 12. "In the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Paul's desire was not only that the Lord would increase their faith, but that their love would grow for each other and toward all men. This is very important, for many times Christians don't get along too well. In fact, this can clearly be seen in Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Let's turn there to the first epistle, 1 Corinthians, with me, chapter 3. And let's read down together verses 1 to 3. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" This is a shame and a reproach to a Christian and to a pastor, a minister, a preacher, as it is to a bad example to the outside world of what a Christian is supposed to be. Amen. You see, many lost people look at Christians. They look at you and I. And when they see bitterness, and when they see strife and envy and backbiting and hatred and so on and so forth, they more often than not become turned off. That's right. Turned off to the gospel of Jesus Christ, thinking that Christianity is full of gossips, prattlers, and hypocrites. In our verse here, the words "all men" not only apply to Christians, but to lost people as well. All Christians should love souls and actively be trying to win them to Christ Jesus. Amen. Is that not true? The problem is that most church people get their eyes off of the lost world. And what happens? Their hearts grow cold. The more souls a man wins, the more joy he'll have, and the more love he'll find in his heart for the brethren. You know, if you're feeling down and depressed and, you know, feel like you're in a rut, let me suggest to you that you try to go out and win someone to the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you, I've been in that situation. That's one of the greatest joys in this life. When you go out and you try to win one for Christ, when you try to go out and win the lost for Christ, and through God working through you, amen, that person comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why we, in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, in verses 19 and 20, Paul writes, "For what is our hope or joy, a crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy." He said those that he had won for Christ at Thessalonica were his joy. Amen. You want joy back in your heart? Amen. And try to win one today for Jesus Christ. Hand someone a gospel tract. Amen. If you're busy laboring for Christ, I'm not saying being driven to the point of exhaustion like some of these churches have you going every minute of every day, but I'm just saying going out there and trying to win someone to the lost, be it a relative, a friend, co-worker, whoever it may be. All I know is I've experienced it time and time again, and what a joy it is. Amen. What a joy it is knowing that you and me are being used of God because you're willing, you're dependable. God can count on you to just go. Amen. And he'll do the rest if you let him. As we were talking about our testimony to the lost world, Paul writes something very interesting. I just want, let's read it together in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? But ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Paul was saying to the Corinthians, we don't need any letters of commendation, recommendation. You are our letters. You, the believer. And you are living letters. And what I want to say is that's exactly right. An unsaved person may never, ever read the Gospel of John, which clearly declares Jesus is the Son of God, and those that believe on him will have life, life eternal. But they'll see you, and they'll see me each and every day in how we conduct ourselves. Amen. Especially if they know that vocally we've expressed that we're saved, that we're born again, that we're Christians. That's going to affect them. You know, as the expression goes, does your walk match your talk? Or do you walk the talk? Amen. That's what you need to ask yourself. So those people, the unsaved, be it at the job, be it wherever you come in contact with people, be it unsaved relatives, amen, are going to look at you and look at your life, and it's either going to bring them to Christ or it's going to repel them. Amen. Well, let's look at our last verse of chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. Paul writes, "And to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." In verse 12, Paul speaks of how they should love one another. Then this verse continues, the thought joined by a colon, that the end, or the reason for doing so, was so that their hearts might be unblameable. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, also speaks of this when it says, "See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Paul's motive to see their love grow was that their hearts might be established unblameable in holiness before God. In other words, that they would sin less. For it's hard to sin against another brother or sister if you love them. Further, Paul speaks of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And this, of course, applies to the rapture. For as we shall see in the next chapter of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, those that are dead in Christ shall come with him at his appearing. And it's important to note here, however, who these saints are. Now, when those of the Catholic denomination speak of saints, they are referring to people who have died many years ago and have been canonized by the Pope in Rome and dubbed a saint of the Church. No Catholic believes that a saint is someone that's living today, but rather someone that's already dead. But is this so? Not according to the Bible. Let us look at some verses in the Bible to see who these saints are. Look in 2 Corinthians with me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, under the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. See that? With all the saints which are in Achaia. These people are still alive, he's talking about. Further, in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, let's read that. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Again, these people are alive. He's writing to the saints. Amen. There at the church of Ephesus. Then looking in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So we see again he's writing to people who are alive, to the saints, at the church of Philippi. I ask you now, is there anyone stupid enough to think that Paul is writing to dead people in Ephesus, Philippi, or Corinth? Clearly, he is writing to those that are alive and saved. Thus, a born-again child of God is a saint according to the Bible. As one preacher would say, you're either a saint or an ain't. In other words, you're not a saint. Either you're saved, born again, you're a saint, or you're not saved, you're not born again, and you're not a saint. Amen. Well, that concludes chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians as we make our way verse by verse through this book of 1 Thessalonians. We'll begin chapter 4 next time. Again, I want to remind our listeners that all of the studies on the pastor's studies are available on audio cassette tape. In fact, I have a catalog free of charge, if you'll just write and ask for it, that lists all the studies that have been aired on the pastor's study since the very beginning. If there's any studies that you're interested, the address where you can reach me will be given at the end of this broadcast. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. It's really been an honor and privilege for those. Thank you for listening to me today on the Pastor's Study. And I pray that you'll join me next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Thessalonians. Until that time, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.